At 11 p.m., when his plane was about 150 miles from wake, Phil switched off the outside lights. Clouds closed in. The bombers were supposed to approach the atoll in formation, but with clouds around and the lights off, the pilots couldn't find their flight mates. They couldn't risk breaking radio silence, so each plane went on alone. The pilots craned into the dark, swerving away from the faint shadows of others, trying to avoid collisions. Wake was very close now, but they couldn't see it. Sitting in the top turret of Superman, Stanley Pillsbury wondered if he'd make it back alive. In the greenhouse below, Louis felt a buzzing inside himself, the same sensation that he had felt before races. Ahead, Wake slept. At exactly midnight, Colonel Matheny, piloting the lead plane, Dumbo the Avenger, broke radio silence. "This is it, boys." Matheny dropped Dumbo's nose and sent the bomber plunging out of the clouds. There beneath him was Wake, three slender islands joining hands around a lagoon. As his co-pilot called out speed and altitude figures, Matheny pushed his plane toward a string of buildings on Peacock Point, the atoll's southern tip. On either side of Matheny's plane, B-24s followed him down. When he reached his bombing altitude, Matheny hauled the plane's nose up and yelled to the bombardier, "When are you going to turn loose those incendiaries?" "Gone, sir." At that instant, the buildings on Peacock Point exploded. It was 45 seconds past midnight. Matheny tipped his bomber and looked down. Peacock Point, struck by Dumbo's bombs and those of its flanking planes, was engulfed in fire. Matheny knew he'd been lucky. The Japanese had been caught sleeping, and no one had yet manned the anti-aircraft guns. As Matheny turned back toward Midway, wave after wave of B-24s dove at Wake. The Japanese ran for their guns. Up in Superman, well behind and above Matheny's plane, Louis saw broad, quick throbs of light in the clouds. He hit the bomb bay door control valve and the doors rumbled open. He set his bomb rack on the select position, flipped on his bomb switches, and fixed the settings. Phil's orders were to dive to 4,000 feet before dropping the bombs, but when he reached that altitude, he was still lost in clouds. Louis's target was the airstrip, but he couldn't see it. Phil pushed the plane still lower, moving at terrific speed. Suddenly, at 2,500 feet, Superman speared through the clouds and Wake stretched out, sudden and brilliant, beneath it. Pillsbury would never shake the memory of what he saw. It looked like a star storm, he remembered. The islands, sealed in blackness a moment before, were a blaze of garish light. Several large infernos spewing black smoke were consuming the atoll's oil tanks. Everywhere, bombs were striking targets, sending up mushrooms of fire. Searchlights swung about, their beams reflecting off the clouds and back onto the ground, illuminating scores of Japanese wearing only fundoshi undergarments, sprinting around in confusion. What neither Pillsbury nor any of the other airmen knew was that among the men under their bombers that night were 98 Americans who had been captured and enslaved. Waist and tail gunners in the bombers fired downward, and one by one the searchlights blew to pieces. To Pillsbury, every gun in the world seemed to be firing skyward. Anti-aircraft guns lobbed shells over the plains, where they erupted, sending shrapnel showering down. Tracers from the firing above and below streaked the air in yellow, red, and green. As Pillsbury watched the clamor of colors, he thought of Christmas. Then he remembered. They had crossed the international dateline and passed midnight. It was Christmas. Phil wrestled Superman out of its dive. As the plane leveled off, Louis spotted the taillight of a Zero rolling down the north-south runway. He began synchronizing on the light, hoping to hit the Zero before it took off. Below, very close, something exploded, and Superman rocked. A shell burst by the left wing, another by the tail. Louis could see tracers cutting neat lines in the sky to the right. He loosed a bomb over the south end of the runway, counted 2 seconds, then dropped his five other bombs over a set of bunkers and parked planes beside the runway. Relieved of 3,000 pounds of bombs, Superman bobbed upward. Louis yelled, "Bombs away!" And Phil rolled the plane roughly to the left through streams of anti-aircraft fire. Louis looked down. His group of five bombs landed in splashes of fire on the bunkers and planes. He'd been a beat too late to hit the Zero. His bomb fell just behind it, lighting up the runway. Phil turned Superman back for Midway. Wake was a sea of fire and running men.